You are a God that hides yourself, Isaiah said. And because God is spirit, we don't see him, we don't touch him, we don't feel him, we don't smell him. We don't talk to him, we don't interact with him as far as in the physical senses. He's easy to forget. And so people have forgotten God. Even though God put all kinds of mnemonics in the Old Testament laws, put the phylacteries on so you could see them, put the Ten Commandments on the doorpost so you can see it, so you won't forget. But they forgot anyhow. But the memorials, they forgot. They forgot God, they forgot his purposes. In Psalm 106, they made a calf. I'm reading from verse 19, Psalm 106. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged the glory, their glory. When you see, when Israel's talking about their glory, you're talking about God. Their glory was God. What glory did they have? He brought them out of Egypt. He made them a nation. Their glory, they changed their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land. And this is the most amazing thing. They saw miracles that you have never seen. They experienced miracles you will never experience. Manna every day, the sea parting, a pillar of cloud by day that guides them, and a fire in that cloud by night that lights their way going through a desert and then stops periodically, and that's where they camp, and it sits there for them through the night. You'll never see that. Well, I say you'll never, not in this life. You and I have not experienced that in this life. And yet, with all that, listen to this. Who had done great things, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Sure he did. He saw the miracles, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. They saw it part. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him, this is Psalm 106, to turn away his wrath from destroying them, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word. How easy is it to forget God? Boy, I'm telling you, it's one of the easiest things in the world, especially when you don't have his spirit. In Isaiah chapter 17, verse 10, for you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your refuge, Isaiah said. Therefore you plant delightful plants and set them with vine slips of a strange God. Jeremiah 3 in verse 21, a voice is heard on high, the weeping and supplication of the sons of Israel. Why? Because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the eternal, their God. How often? And you read this in the Bible. To remember me. To don't forget me. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 25. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, he says, declares the eternal, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. One of the easiest ways to get off into myths, off into things that are not so, and to trust in superstition and myths, is to forget God. Get away from God. And that's what will happen. And here's one that's very difficult to understand. Here's a guy that God used. I say, how do you forget this guy? There's a whole society named after him. Every Bible that I go into and every hotel, when you pick it up, it says, hey, this is a Gideon Bible. It talks about the Gideon Bible. But listen to this passage in Judges chapter 8, verses 33 to 35. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead. Now here he did this powerful, miraculous, God did it through him, helped him defeat the Midianite army. As soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals. Went right back to Baalism. This is what Gideon was out in the middle of the night pulling that statue of Baal over. And they made Baal Berith their god. Thus the sons of Israel, listen to this next phrase, verse 34, Judges 8. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Eternal, their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness. Not only did they not remember God, listen to what it says. Nor did they show kindness to the household of Gideon, who was called Jerubbaal. They named him Jerubbaal because Baal's your enemy. Baal's going to get you, so we're going to name you Jerubbaal. In accord with all the good that he had done to Israel. Not only did they forget God, they forgot this guy who came along and did this powerful thing to deliver them from the oppression of the Midianites. Man, we don't care. And they weren't even kind to his progeny, kind to his descendants. So here's the question. Yes, Old Testament Israel was told to remember. He had put the doorpost, put the ribbons on your phylacteries on your things to remind you to remember God, remember his commandments, yet they forgot. For us with the Holy Spirit, will we forget God? I say no, we won't. In the New Testament, it isn't so much that we will forget God or Jesus Christ, as it is that we do need to remember some things. And here's what we need to remember. It's in the book of Jude, chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. But dear friends, Jude writes, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. That's what we need to remember. They said to you, in the last days there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and do not have the Spirit. Now, the consequences of not remembering what the apostles wrote. And what did the apostles write? The New Testament. The New Testament. Now, there are a lot of people, I'm telling you, that they've got off the deep end, and I appreciate Lee's statement, Lee's message, because there are people who think the Old Testament takes precedence over the New Testament. They don't even know how to understand the Bible. The New Testament is God's latest revelation of what we're doing. And the Bible goes from Genesis to Revelation, and the end of the book is the book of Revelation. But they don't understand that. And so here's what happens when you get away from and you don't remember the writings of the apostles. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You know, there's a phrase in the King James that says, you know, from the simplicity in Christ. The King James uses the word simplicity. A lot of people think, well, that just means that the New Testament is simple. It doesn't mean simple because, you know, Peter said, you know, Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand, that those who are unlearned might twist. They might, you know, misunderstand what Paul's saying and twist them. So it doesn't mean it's simple in the sense that you don't have to have any education, you don't have to know anything. That's not what it says. But simplicity means a sincere devotion. Simplicity means I'm dedicated to this as opposed to duplicity, which means I've got double-minded and I say this and think that and I'm all over the place. It's a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's what it has to be. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus, it's not that you're going to forget Jesus. Oh, no. In the New Testament, you've got the Holy Spirit. And you're trying to follow the Holy Spirit, hopefully. It's not that you'll do that, but if you don't remember, you see, the Holy Spirit is activated and energized by the Word of God. That's what energizes it. You don't have any Word of God, give you the Holy Spirit. What do you know? What how do you relate to God? How do you understand more God? How are you not led off the trail? Here's what happens. Someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached. Or if you receive a different attitude of mind, a different focus, a different mental thought, a different mental approach from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, and that's the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and the great time to come and our spiritual development and being made like God into God's very family and changed to develop that holy, God, righteous character that God is putting in us, bringing us into his kingdom. You get a different gospel from the one you accepted. You might submit readily to it, he says. You'll submit to it readily enough. And that's when you forget. We are warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. That's what Jesus is. And by his appearing and his kingdom. His appearing and his kingdom. I'm charging you by these things which are so vast and important. I charge you with these. I charge you, Timothy, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season at all times. Be ready at all times. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and do it with great patience and instruction. You got to teach as well as yell at people. You can't just yell at people. You have to teach them the truth. You can't yell. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. You can have tickled ears. And we should rejoice when we hear the truth. We should rejoice when we have deeper understanding of the scriptures. We should rejoice with that. But some people want to be tickled. Let's tickle this with this. Oh, you know, guess what? Look, there's a little passage back here. What we can do? We have this idea, and you go look at some deep portion of the law. What that means? And tickled. They will accumulate to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will be led aside to myths. Now, in 1 Timothy, chapter 1. You see this passage, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia. This is Paul now. Paul is writing to Timothy, right? You understand that. This is instruction to him as a minister. As I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain at Ephesus in order that you may, what? Instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Don't teach strange, different, obviously opposed doctrines. Nor pay attention. Teach them not to pay attention to myths. There are a lot of myths. You know, one of the big myths was, you know, that Adam was a huge man, you know, that he stretched from clear up into Jerusalem and all that all the way down, and that the Jews used to hate Egypt so much they said his hip portions, his genitals and his hip portion was over Egypt, and there were these myths that got settled about how Adam was this big person, and there were myths. Don't pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. Endless. Who is so-and-so? We got to get here and that. We got to find this. Don't pay attention to these endless genealogies, which give rise to... to mere speculation. People get into speculations. What about this here? But this could be, that could be, that might be. Rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Is it strengthening your faith in God? Or is it just talking about speculation? And he says, verse 5, this is very critical. This is a very important passage here. He says, but the goal of our instruction, what's the goal of preaching to you? What is the goal? What is our goal? For you to have love from a pure heart and a good conscience. I want you to have a good conscience before God. And a sincere faith. A faith that is dedicated to God. A faith that believes, a sincere faith. Not only a body of beliefs, but of the way you believe. For, verse 6, for some men, some people, men means just men or women, for some people straying from these things. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about deceiving, when you talk about being deceived, it really means not so much that we pulled it on you and that you didn't know it. Being deceived means we led you off the path. It means to be led astray. In fact, there's many modern translations use the phrase led astray. You're led away from the pathway of God and led over here and led over here and led over there and down in here and over that way. And they all seem to be very intriguing. Led away from a sincere faith. For some of these men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion. Fruitless. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your faith. It doesn't help your love. It doesn't help your conscience. Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they're saying or matters about which they make such confident assertions. They don't even understand the law, but they want to be teachers of it. So these verses characterize false teachers. They stray from the ethical teachings. See, the law, God's law, is to bring about ethical teachings. What do? They get into fruitless discussion, idle talk, meaningless talk. That phrase, fruitless discussion, is from the New American Standard Version. The New King James Version uses the word idle talk. The New Revised Standard Version uses the word meaningless talk. The New Jerusalem Bible uses the word empty speculation. It's all the same basic thing. You get into all that. They want to be teachers of the law, of course, but they do not understand the law. They make confidence assertions about things they don't understand. Now we come to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Verse 8 now. Listen to this phrase. I'm going to read this in the complete Jewish Bible. We know that the Torah is good, provided one uses it in the way the Torah itself intends. That's the Jerusalem Complete Jewish Bible. Let me read that in the Christian Standard Bible. We know that the law is good, provided one uses it legitimately. Greek word is lawfully. There's a Greek word here, and it's only used a couple of times, only twice in the whole New Testament. It's used here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, and it means pertaining to being in accordance with normal procedures, the accepted rules of procedure. And it's translated in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, the same words, only twice in the New Testament. And you see it in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. If anyone competes as an athlete, or the King James says, strives for masteries, that's the way the King James puts it. If anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes, I'm reading this from the Christian Standard Bible, unless he competes according to the rules. according to the rules, is the same Greek word. Now, here's the King James on it. If a man strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Lawfully, the same word that is used in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, where the law is good, provided one uses it lawfully. Well, what is the lawful use of the law? The lawful use of the law is for ethical improvement, for you to be a better person, to act properly in love and care for your neighbor and for other, your fellow man. Here's this passage, okay? I'm going to read it now. There's a passage that goes from verse 8 all the way through to verse 11. It's all, this is the passage, it's all one big sentence in the Greek. Here it is, one long sentence. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person. Did you know that? Did you know the law is not made for a righteous person? It'd be like saying to you, don't steal my thing. Don't steal. How many of you are going to steal? None of you. So why would you want to say this to people? Don't steal. You better not steal. Well, why would you want to say that to people who are righteous? The law was not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and immoral men, and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Here's Paul. The glorious gospel. And it is glorious. It is glorious. Being in God's kingdom, being immortal and forever is glorious. And you don't even know the glory that will be revealed in us, that God is going to reveal in us. The glory, glorious gospel. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about lawless. This means people who don't recognize any authority. The false teachers often rejected the moral aspects of the Mosaic law. They didn't care about the law. They became a law to themselves and their own conscience. Now, if you read that list, which I just read to you, okay, 1 Timothy, I just read it to you there, the whole list, right down the line, that one long sentence, right? We know that the law is good if it's used lawfully, realizing that it was made for what? And then he goes on, that realizing the fact that it's made for a righteous person, for those, and it's made for those who are lawless and rebellious. They're not under authority. They don't want any authority over them. They're made for the ungodly. Ungodly are people, in the Greek here, means knowingly irreligious. They're not ignorant. They're not self-blinded, or not blinded, but they are knowingly, I don't like religious. And then it goes unholy. This means the opposite of being godly. If you're godly, the person who is unholy opposes all that God stands for. Profane. This means to trample on what's holy. God says this is holy. You trample on it. You ruin it. They claim to be spiritual, but their lifestyles, the way they live, tramples on everything that is holy. Those who kill their fathers and mothers. Now, if you come down, you start seeing the first part of this is a rejection of God. Take the Ten Commandments, and you parallel what Paul is saying here. It parallels exactly the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before you, but they're lawless. They're rebellious. You shall not bow down. They rebel against it. They're ungodly. They knowingly are irreligious. They don't mind taking God's name in vain. They are profane people. Okay? Those who what? kill their fathers and mothers. There's the commandment against killing. There's the commandment against honoring your parents. Those who are murderers, it says for murderers in verse 9, for murderers. That's one of the Ten Commandments. For immoral men and homosexuals, immoral means that they're sexually immoral, sexually loose in every direction. So you have the commandment of adultery. Kidnappers. Now, the Jews used to say kidnapping was stealing. You're stealing a person. You grab them, killing. That violates the Eighth Commandment there. You shall not steal. The perjurers and liars, false witnesses. That's the Ninth Commandment. And then he says this, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. And guess what? Paul said it. The whole law, you know, he said, I was good. I keep all the commandments. I did everything right. I kept all of them until I saw that one commandment that says, you shall not covet. Which in a sense means you shouldn't, not only shouldn't you do it, you shouldn't want to do it. Shouldn't think about doing it. It should not be something you want to do. And whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. It must be that last one, you shall not covet. And what is sound teaching? The word sound is used a lot of times in the Gospels here. I mean, in the books of Timothy, Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Sound means healthy. The Greek word means hygiene. Whatever is hygienically good teaching, hygienically good teaching, which means it makes you spiritually healthy. So when you forget God's word, people go off, Lee was saying this, off into all kinds of things. Let's go into sacred names. We have to say this Hebrew word. Let's go into this. Let's go into some other thing. Jesus is not God doctrine. Let's go into this doctrine. Let's go in. We have people looking into the law. How many people have left? Because, we're not tearing down the branches during the feast and building booths out of these palm branches. Tearing these trees down. We're supposed to have these goodly trees. Tear them down off. And I want to do that. We should do that. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. And they get into some of these or calendar days. They say, it's not enough. Let's get into the calendar days. Oh, this calendar's wrong. We got to get intrigued. Then you got to study it. You got to read it. You got to think about this. All the minutiae, all the things that are not sound doctrine and lead people astray into myths, speculations, and stupidness and craziness that gets away from the sound teaching of the New Testament. When you get away from the apostles' teaching, you get away from the New Testament writings. I'm not saying the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love it. I read it very deeply. And about a third of all quotes in all the New Testament is quotes from the Old Testament. But we have to understand what takes superior place. The truth of the Scriptures. The truth of the Scriptures. And when you stay with that and you remember the words of the apostles, that's what Jude said. You've got to remember the words of the apostles. They carried out Jesus' words. You know, Jesus did not write one book in the Bible. Jesus did not write one physical letter. Everything written in the New Testament is written by the apostles. It's called the canon of the New Testament, which means the strict. And what did Paul say? You have to divide rightly the word of God. You have to cut it. You have to cut it correctly. If you don't, it means cut it. It means you have to cut it like you're cutting a piece of cloth to fit on something else. It has to be cut correctly. Those who forget the words of the apostles, those who forget in the Old Testament, they forgot God. In the New Testament, we're not going to forget Jesus' name. We could be, if we don't remember the words of the apostles, led off the path. That's similar. Led astray. We must not do that. This is our guide.